Blog Talk Radio.
The truth can hurt you.
This is Needy B.
The state of Georgia has opened up. I don't care what nobody say, forget all of that. Atlanta is Georgia. Georgia is Atlanta. If you take Atlanta and Hartsfield Airport out of here, they'll close this state down. This is how much of a metropolis that Atlanta has become. Has probably the busiest airport in this nation. It's only two at one. Only one can rival it, I think, is Denver. But this is busy, man. This governor has made a decision, and only God knows what the decision is for. But it is based on nothing about concern for us. I live in Atlanta. Several of us on the morning show live in Atlanta. There is nothing in this that shows that he cares about the constituents of this city. Now, listen to me, man. This that this man is talking about doing, for lack of a better word, this is flat-out stupidity. This is reckless behavior. It's downright really criminal what he's doing, because he's sending the wrong message against all doctors, all science, the Center for Disease Control, the Coronavirus Task Force, nobody, FEMA, every agency, all of the healthcare workers on the front line, the first responders, everyone to the letter says it's too early to come back. We have nothing. And we're going to endanger our lives at a barbershop so we can go get a haircut, so we can get a perm, or get our hair put in, get a set and roll. What? What? So we can go bowling. Are we that simple of a people? So we can go bowling? You've got to be kidding me, man. You've really... This is absurd. This makes no damn logical sense at all. I want us, as a people, to show everybody that we are thinking people, that we are not irresponsible people.
Hello?
Hello?
I was trying to get into the show.
Me too.
Okay, it's not letting me in.
Olivia, it's Lisa.
Okay, yeah, it won't let me in either.
I wonder what's going on. I texted him.
I don't
him.
Know. I've dialed several times. I keep saying.
Me too.
Uh-huh.
Unmuted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does he know there's a problem or?
I've just sent him a message. I hope he'll receive it. I'm having problems with my cell phone.
No, I'm having it too. It just says unmuted and then. I don't know.
Hello.
Hi. Are we on or no?
I don't know.
It's not working.
Lisa.
Yes.
Okay, so I have you. I have you, Lisa. Just hold on a second. I'm going to put you on speakerphone. Seemed like we're having some problems tonight.
Yeah, we've tried a couple of times.
Yeah, I saw you drop. Y'all dropped about 7 or 8 times. I was regular talking going through the house cleaning when you was doing the dropping. So I have you. I had to make adjustment on my system so you all can hear me. As I was about to introduce you, Scarlett, and I'm going to go to you to Lisa, but I said, hell's from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. She's a retired administrator, counselor, educator. She's been working with people as a resource for many, many years. And we're so proud to have her and her expertise on our show, none other than Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
I'm doing fine. So we're in now. We're having technical difficulties, right?
Yeah, you was talking. I even heard everything you all were saying, but apparently it was not coming through. I had to put y'all on mute.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad we ain't saying things off color.
I was sharing the conversation. Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Scarlett, for joining us tonight, and we appreciate it. If you want to say a word or two before I move to introduce Lisa right quick, you can.
Well, it's good to have our audience with us tonight, and we apologize for the technical difficulties, but that's the sound of technology sometimes. It happens. Please make sure, and everything that I do and talk about, I want to make sure and just always caution and remind everyone to please follow the CDC guidelines as we navigate through this coronavirus. Novel coronavirus COVID-19, 19 standing for the year 2019 in which the virus started coming our way. It was discovered. So please be careful. Follow the guidelines of not of politicians, but of medical personnel, certified medical personnel, and those guidelines from the CDC. We'll be talking more about that tonight, I'm sure. But I always like to just kind of preface with that we take this stuff very, very seriously.
Awesome.
And we're
awesome.
Glad to have you all with us tonight.
Appreciate you so much. Sarah Scarlett Black, she's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. We have several members on Facebook checking us out, watching. So I always have to give you that shout out to make sure they know they are supporting not only just this program, but someone doing some great things.
Oh, we
with
just
the,
love them, don't we? We just love them, yes.
Yeah.
And also
exactly.
All members of the Divine Nine, we just love you guys because collectively we make a difference.
Exactly. Okay, my special guest expert who was with me on last two tonight and then during the Christmas time, she was even before the Christmas time, and I'm so glad to have her a part of this because we wanted to really talk about mental health and wellness during COVID-19. And we want to share some positive as well as some, but we want to keep it real. Let me leave it like that. We're going to keep it real. It might be positive to you, might be negative to somebody else, vice versa. But we're going to keep it real. Hell's from the state of Florida, but originally from the state of Ohio. And she's down in Boca Raton. And she's a licensed clinical social worker. And she do several other things that I want her, if she wants to introduce those things, that's awesome. And we're so proud to have her, none other than Lisa Levine. How you doing, Lisa?
Hi, Dr. Smith. How are you?
I am fine.
Hi, everybody.
It's good to be. Yep.
Good.
And, good to have you. It is good to have you. It's a part of this tonight. We got a strong show tonight. We got a format full of all of the things that we're going to talk about and things you want to add to it. It's fine. It's for both of y'all add things. And when the other co-hosts or anybody else call in, we'll make sure we make them live as well. All right, let's start off. We said mental health and wellness during COVID-19. We started off last week talking about it. We didn't get to everything, but we want to kind of rehash some things because it's so important, and I want your expertise in regard to how we want to deal with this situation and how we are trying to deal with it the best we can. We look to have eventually a new norm. Eventually it won't be the same coming out, but we'll talk about that toward the end of the show. The first thing I want us to talk about as a topic relating to fear, anxiety, stress. Why can, during COVID-19, it become overwhelming to everybody? And we want to kind of share our thoughts, and you can, you know, either one of you can start off talking about discussing why fear, stress, and anxiety about COVID-19 can be overwhelming.
Well, I'll begin. I'll throw it to Ms. Mancini so she can bring some pointers in, because today I read where one of the emergency room doctors in Manhattan committed suicide and because of coronavirus, and that was really sad. Because, you know, we're asking people to reach out and to really seek help. And even sometimes when they don't really realize that they need help, that seek it anyway. And also for those around people that you're seeing are in distress and stressful situations, to reach out to them also. I just want to, before I toss it over to her, I want to just say that my chapter, we are sending cards of encouragement to those hotspot hospitals, Elmhurst, Mount Sinai, St. Barnabas, and some other hospitals in the New York area, because that was the hardest hit, and it continues to lead the country. We're also sending cards to the hospital in Albany, and they pronounce it Albany, Georgia. But you know, people say Albany, but that's Albany, New York. But in Georgia, they call it Albany. Albany, Georgia. And we're sending some cards of encouragement there to the those that work in the emergency rooms and ICU units, because it is stressful for them. And after all this has subsided, they're going to really need a lot of help to have cope with what they have seen, what they've gone through, the number of hours that they're working, which is absolutely awful, the hours that they're working, but they're doing it to save lives. And, you know, I got an opinion about that, because we should not be putting more stress on them when we're not being responsible for our actions and behavior. Yeah. Because when you wind up in the ER, in those ICU units, you're putting more stress on the frontline people, these heroes and sheroes who are making a difference and saving lives and trying to get people back to a healthy way of life and to leave the hospital. So we need to not only think about, you know, what happens with us personally, but how our actions affects someone else. So I was really sad to hear that today about this outstanding young doctor who just lost it, and this was the result of it. So I'll have more to say as the show goes on, but I'll turn it over to our guest expert tonight.
I guess I'm going to continue with what you're saying. I think, one, there's a stigma about people receiving help. You don't have to be mental, right, guys?
That's
I think
right.
That's what a lot of people think. There's something mentally wrong. It, it doesn't mean that. And there's nothing wrong with saying, and I have friends reaching out. I have, you know, my clients, they know my phone's on 24/7. It's okay to not be okay. I continually say that. What's not okay is when we don't take care of it. And anxiety comes out in so many different ways. And I always say anxiety is at the core of a lot. You know, anxiety drives mood. It drives anger, fear. And I think some people either embarrassed to get help. They don't know what to do. They're overwhelmed. They don't know who to turn to. I did see that about that doctor. It's incredibly sad. And I don't think we're realizing what all these people are doing, you know, trying to help and save lives. And you're right. And then we go against it, some of us, and we're not taking the right precautions. And I think because there's so much uncertainty and these mixed messages that are being put out there, and the media is telling you one thing and then you hear something else, and you turn on one news station, there's one story, another and another. And so I think some people are thinking, well, I don't believe any of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to follow the rules, or their anxiety goes up. And when you're anxious, or you're having a mood swing or whatever's going on, your thoughts are distorted and you're not thinking correctly. If you don't know what to do, make sure, and in general in life, you should always, always have a support system, whether it's your family, your friends, your work family, whoever it is, make sure. And make sure you're talking. You don't even have to talk about the virus. You know, I have some clients, they're just, I don't want to talk about the virus. I'm like, okay, you pick what we're going to talk about. You know, it becomes very overwhelming. And if you guys think about it, that's like the only thing we've been talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't
talk
about anything
else. Well, and
the
economy.
The economy
is stressful too.
Very stressful. And I'm noticing with these kids, they're trying to learn, this was brought to my attention, they're trying to learn online, I called Dr. Smith earlier, they're teaching themselves. Now, I was under the impression that the teachers were present, and they're not.
In quite a few schools, they are.
They are, but not all.
And then quite a few other schools, they are not. And unfortunately, it's a huge problem. And what we're seeing is that a lot of our children who are in urban and rural settings, where in the rural areas they don't have the broadband for tele-education or distant learning, and also in urban settings, if they don't have the equipment to access it. And also in the rural setting, they may not have the access either, because you don't have the broadband if you're out in, you know, way out, and you're on a farm, you know, you just don't have the infrastructure there. And so these are some things that we know that after this scab has been, the Band-Aid has been pulled off the scab, we know that there's a lot of issues that have been brought to the forefront, a lot. That America is going to have to deal with. We're going to have to deal with this America's sin. We got to deal with the race issue. No way around it. And also with the class and levels of poverty that people experience and are really experiencing now. So the economic as well as the health issues. People are just, they're scared and they're worried, and you're right, they're not getting the appropriate information or misinformation, more all about me campaigning information than about the people. And then you're also going to have a lot of people who are grieving. When you're losing close to 60,000 people in your society, the American society, you lose 60,000 Americans, and nobody really seems to, we care about it, and a lot of folks care about it, but are your leaders caring about it? It's almost like as if, you know, well, it wasn't 100,000. Well, how do we know it's not going to be 100,000 before it's all over with? Because it's moving rapidly. And when we're being irresponsible in our behaviors and we're not following guidelines, procedures, because it's all about me and the dollar, you know, and more people are going to get sick. Spikes have already been shown that they're rising, and more deaths are going to come. And you hate to say that, but when you can't even be there with your loved one when they're leaving and transitioning into to this earth from life to death, and they're transitioning, and there's nobody there with them but that nurse or that doctor or the other healthcare worker with them. That's a sad situation, and that's a grief.
It's a huge
that
trauma.
It's deep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a deep
and that,
grief.
Can you imagine being sick and then you can't be with your parent? And I don't know if people are thinking like that, that you're not there to hold their hand. You know, when you know somebody's passing or they're terminally ill or they're ill, and maybe some people are sick and don't even have COVID, you know, and you can't even go into the hospital,
that's
you know,
a
to
hurt.
Be with that
that's
person.
A deep hurt.
It's I don't think they're looking at that either, or people are not looking at. There's
well,
a lot of factors
involved.
One man
even wrote a letter to a note to his two boys when he went into the hospital, even before they put him on the ventilator. He wrote a note to them to let them know how much he loved them. And like 3 days later, you know, he was gone. But he had the presence of mind before he went, you know, before they did all of that, all the medical procedures. He did that because he wanted his boys to know, to grow up with the thought and knowing that they were loved by their father. This is some hurting stuff.
Yeah, this is truly, truly a challenging time. And we got to understand that we have to look at the certain things like fear, anxiety, and stress, and start seriously looking at this and not taking it for granted. I personally feel like a lot of people, the reason they're out when you say stay at home is they got a fear of being at home and the stress of what comes along with
being at home.
It's just my thing. You know, I try to look at it, and I had several, I mentioned last show on Tuesday night, there were several educators. So they so used to being, and we are programmed to go places, and once we are conditioned, we do that every day. But now they can't do this. I'm just using them, for example, because they said they can't stand it. They can't stand it at home. I got one of the watchers, I'm going to say from Facebook, saying about young people, teenagers, they are having trouble staying at home because they ain't used to have to stay at home.
Yep.
And the consequences for being outside of the home is one is irreversible because it can lead to death. And people got to understand, and I want to just kind of take, you know, what a personal thing for me dealing with fear and anxiety. And now I'll go back to recently, individual, I lost my oldest sister. And she had a triple bypass. She had a COPD. And I'm going to run down all the things she was dealing with. She had lupus. She had it all. So she was in the same nursing home with my dad, who's still there. My dad is still there. And one of the biggest things, whenever we brought her from that nursing home, was my dad to my house so they could be out of that setting, was the fear that her O2 tank would stop working on her. And it created anxiety. And eventually, it created that respiratory distress that she transitioned. But I just could see times when she didn't feel like she could get in the air. She didn't feel like it. That was fear. That was anxiety. That all of that was going on. I'm just using that because it's personal. And I just think that everybody don't understand where we are and where we're going. We don't have the answers. As it was said, Lisa said, even said last year, virus, that's not a cure for a virus. We have to understand that. It's something that's in the air. You can't say that it's over with. And I placed that excerpt from Steve Harvey Morning Show, and he talks about opening up Atlanta. And there may be some hidden motives, but you're talking about people going to places where you can't control social distancing.
Well, also the viruses, and you know, they keep saying virus. You know what I call it? I call it a plague. There's no cure for this. There's not a vaccine.
Yeah.
It's going to take maybe a year or whatever. They're trying to fast track the vaccine, but you know, there's not a vaccine available for it now. They have to test the vaccine. You just don't develop a vaccine then start shooting people up with the vaccine. You got to make sure the vaccine is safe to take, because if not, you got another problem. But at the same time, there's not anything available. And the best thing that you can do is I don't like to use the word social distancing. I prefer physical distancing, because social means that you cut off, you know, from any social contact. And maybe that's just not a word, you know, that we want to be cut off, because there are other ways that you can communicate socially without being in a physical presence. So physical distancing. But this is serious. This is very serious stuff. And when you don't have someone there with you in the hospital, you can't visit, you can't go in. I got two sorority sisters in this area who were in the hospital, and then both their husbands. One husband's still there. This is very serious stuff. And he's been on the ventilator for quite a while. And, you know, they say that once you have to go on a ventilator, and the longer you stay, that's not good. But this virus stays in the air. Particles of the virus,
okay,
when you cough or sneeze, can stay in the air
still
up to 3 hours.
Hey, Lisa, you still there?
I'm here.
Hello.
I think I lost
Hello.
Both
Can
of my individuals.
No.
I
don't know whether we're
board.
Coming in or out.
Hello? You got
we hear
me?
You
can
now.
Can you hear?
Now we can.
Well, yeah, that's the other issue, is there really is no cure for a virus. You know, so I'm not sure, can they make a vaccine for a virus? Viruses have existed for a very long time. And even with the flu, you know how many people I know that had the flu shot and got the flu, and they got it very severe? Now, it could just be a coincidence, and I know it's two different things, but, you know, and I think this is adding also to people's stress, is fear of unknown. Is this going to go away? Is this safe to go out? And you know what? If they want to open things up and people don't want to go out, you don't have to go out. You don't have to go to get your hair cut. You don't have to go get your nails done. You know, you don't have to go out to these places. And maybe, I mean, I think down here they're talking about opening things up tomorrow or Friday, if I'm correct. I don't know if that's true or not.
It is true.
At least
true.
In South Florida. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I personally am going to keep doing what I'm doing, which is my virtual stuff. And I'm not going to run out and get my hair done. I'm not running out to the beach, which is my favorite place to be, but not doing any of that. The other thing, too, is we don't know about all the numbers. You know, you're seeing, I've seen so many different numbers of people that have it, that have died from it. We don't have an accurate reading on that either. I just am saying all these things add to confusion and increase people's anxiety, and I have a feeling most people are going to be fearful to go out. And they have, and I said this last week, there's no solution. There's no plan in place. There's no one saying, okay, we're going to open up. How are you going to go to a restaurant with a mask on? You're going to sit and eat in a restaurant with a mask on, and you're going to be 6 feet apart. You know, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, whoa. I mean, if you think about it, you can go get your hair cut, right? And you could wear one of those, what is it, that guard, you know, that shield. I guess you could put a shield on, you know. You can do that, you know, to get your nails done, I guess. But in a restaurant, you can't do that.
Unless you put
places,
a hole in your
can't...
mouth. Through the
mask. Exactly.
But think about
exactly.
it. What is their plan, and how many people can go in? And I keep saying, and I don't know if I shared this with you guys, but 17 years ago, I had meningitis. I had bacterial meningitis. I almost died. If you read about meningitis, meningitis is airborne. It's something you inhale. You catch it from touching. When the doctor told me, one of the main ways that you catch it is when people don't wash their hands after they go to the bathroom, they touch something, and then we come in contact with it. And I actually recently started sharing it with people because I get your fear, because I was there 17 years ago. So I'm a little OCD myself. I'm always washing. You should always wash your hands and keep clean. But there's so much out in the air, you know, that we can come in contact with. And how long does it stay in the air, you know?
3 hours.
We don't know
these
things. Yeah.
No, they've already tested that up to 3 hours.
But it stays on some surfaces.
24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes 72.
And are they going to have, like, sanitary stations when you go in? Like, I think everywhere you go should have, like, a pump where you pump. And, like, in the doctor's offices or in the schools.
Yeah.
Every school I work at is clean. They all have wipes. They all have, Purell when you come in. Very, you know, as clean as they can possibly keep it. Why aren't movie theaters? Why aren't you hitting something before you go into a place? You know, they're not saying what they're going to do, you know, to help to keep things as sanitary as they can. When school starts, what are you going to do? One of my kids said to me yesterday, actually, she said, you know, I never thought about it, but when we enter a classroom, someone was in there before us. And they touched the desk and they touched this. And I said, you got it. I said, you should always wash your hands. Wash your hands before you go in and wash them when you leave. Are you going to wipe the desks off? Like, these are just common sense things, you know. And now the kids are starting to think about it.
Well, during regular flu season in my school, this is what I had our custodial staff to do. They wiped down, went in and wiped down. Each one had their own block. So they would go in when the kids would come out and the teachers for lunch or their break, they would go in and do a wipe down of the classrooms. And then once the school day ended, they would do go back and do even more overnight. But, you know, after school hour had ended, the building was free, and they would go in and do it again and even use more, because some kids are resistive to the chemicals that were used, so you had to be careful during the day. But then after school hours ended, they'd go back with something a little stronger because the odor would be dissipated by the time they got back the next morning. So we were very careful on that. But this is a different type of virus. That's the flu.
Yep.
Flu shot,
yes,
you're not guaranteed because you don't know what strain of the flu is going to be prevalent during that particular year. So where you could have a flu shot, but that was not the strain that came around.
Didn't they say there's different strains with this? Like, I know coronavirus has been around a long time.
Right.
And they're saying this is a different
one, because that's what it calls
strains.
The novel. Yeah, because it's new. No one has seen this one before anywhere. This is brand new.
Exactly.
So we're telling people to drink Lysol and bleach and all this kind of stuff. I mean, that's just irresponsible.
Well, the other reason, and even though I guess it was said it was sarcastic and maybe being a joke, and someone did set, because, you know, I don't watch the news, so someone sent me that clip to watch. First of all, you have people that are mentally ill.
Yep.
Okay, let's start right there. That might actually follow through with it. And I don't think people are thinking when someone said to me, well, how stupid is someone? And I said, you don't know individuals' situation.
That's right.
You should never say something as a joke or sarcastic. You shouldn't say anything like that, because you guys know and I know there's people that are going to try it. And then out of fear right now, people were probably trying it. I mean, I know people were calling in. I saw somewhere in Maryland they got
that
a whole
Maryland,
bunch of phone
calls. That was Maryland. They had a huge increase in phone calls. Yeah.
It's not something to make light of or joke about. Like,
well,
it
wasn't a joke.
I didn't
it wasn't sarcastic. He meant that. That was not
a
joke.
But
I
could be
wrong,
guys.
I saw the clip. He was not a joke.
Yeah, it was not a joke. And I just think it's better. You know what they need to do when they do these news conferences? You have the medical professionals go on. You talk about it for 30 minutes, and you provide the facts to people. Just give people facts.
Exactly.
That's really all people want.
That's it.
They just want to know where we're at.
So this is a campaign rally stuff for him. So it's not about that. Everyone's been complaining about that, and they haven't gotten over, I don't know how many responses to these networks to stop showing him and only concentrate on what you just said, the medical people talking. But then I'm getting ready to have some concerns about one of those medical folks, because she seems to be trying to appease them. So you can't have it both ways. Either you're going to be a public health official and you're going to give people the straight information so they can protect themselves. We as the American people and people around this globe need to protect themselves, because what happens in one country, also there's no border on this stuff. There's no age limit on this stuff, because it's attracting, affecting, you know, all kind of ages. There's no race. There's no political party. None of these things matter. When this virus hits you, and if you do not have the immune system that can fight this stuff off, because many of us in our community do have underlying situations, health problems, it's hard. It's difficult. And we have got to be, and I'm glad you played that about Dr. Steve Harvey. You got to take this stuff seriously, and keep yourself home.
Exactly.
And be diligent.
Very diligent about it. But my biggest problem is that people are not taking it serious. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. And I will identify. I got several people on Facebook typing things in, commenting on it. And I like to read everything, but I'm not going to be able to read everything. But I do appreciate you being a part of it. You press 1, I identify the last 4 digits of your cell and telephone number, and ask you to offer your name. And if you feel comfortable doing it and your location, then give your expertise. That's what it's all about. Now, what we want to kind of move toward now is that we had talked about several things. Let's kind of talk about a possibility of last week's self-care strategies to deal with stress, to deal with anxiety, deal with fear, deal with listening to all the various outlets, news outlets, thinking about a situation that Georgia now opened up, and people could possibly go there and bring that virus back. Let's kind of talk about some of the things that we can do as a self-care. I know we can stay in. You know, I have my gloves and my mask whenever I have to go out. But we just anything else we can have to deal with the fear, to deal with the anxiety, to deal with the stress, deal with all the different. And Lisa, you shared previously with us in regards to maybe you not need to listen to the news. Don't sit up and watch. Wait for it to come on. And you hear these things, and you don't know exactly what's going on. There's another fear, and I'm going to throw this in right quick, and we're going to talk about self-strategy. This thing about this stimulus check. People getting anxiety over not receiving the stimulus check.
I know.
You got people fear, which I understand because they're out of their job, but is something going on? They want to know. They say they go and they call in, they go through the website, and they tell us status and everything. We want to kind of lump that all into one and talk about some self strategies that we can use to kind of do and deal with what we're, whether it's mentally or physically, whatever it is. What exactly can we do to kind of ease up the fear and the anxiety and stress?
Well, you need to add one more, too. You need to add one more, too, because if a small business owner does not get the small business loan, I've gotten some information about, anxiety over that.
Exactly.
And also whether or not you're going to have a job to go back to.
Exactly. Right. Awesome. But we want some strategy we can share with our listeners and our watchers to kind of, you know, maybe can help them because they on the line want to find out exactly how they can deal with this situation because it's challenging. It's very challenging.
It is. And I think mm-hmm. one thing, and I tell everybody this, you got to move around. Even when you don't feel like it, you got to move. You got to exercise. You got to walk. There's so many people doing fitness stuff online right now. Katie's Kid, my yoga program, we've got Zoom yoga. If you can't afford it, you know, we're happy, you know, I'm happy to help anybody, you know, myself and there's three of us, we're happy to do yoga for anybody. Or if you just need to talk a few minutes, whatever it is, you got to move around. Don't sit. Don't stay up all night. This is another issue. People are staying up, especially my teens and teens, till 4 or 5 in the morning, and they're on social media and they're on the phones. And then when it's time to get up for school, they're not getting up for school. And that's a huge problem. And your whole day is turned around. A friend of mine just told me she has her daughter getting up, and she puts her uniform on like she's going to school. Oh. So keeping a regular routine and schedule.
I get dressed.
I put my work clothes on. You know, I get up. You got to get up. And this is the time, guys, and I think I just put it in the post I put up on my Facebook. Yeah. Spend time with your kids. They need you. They might act like they don't. And we know how teens are. They're very moody. But spend time with them. Just have dinner together. Put your phones away. Being on the screens, and I can tell you for myself, and I think I mentioned this last week because I'm on the screens more right now. It makes me kind of, you know, I need to put it down and make sure to take walks in between my clients. I stretch. But put the phones down. Spend time with your children. It's a huge struggle for them, and I'm listening to everything the kids are saying. They don't know if they're going to see their friends again. They missed out on their graduation. They've missed out, like, spirit weeks and
the
dances
prom.
And all these prom.
Yeah.
This is a huge – this is going to have a huge impact. And then I have one of the kids I work with told me her friend is not even allowed to leave the house. That's not healthy either, guys. You can let your child go sit in the front yard or walk around the house. You can I'm very big on finding solutions. Yeah, go in the backyard. You can, you know, make up your, you know, play kickball, play catch with your child, do something, play tag. Do something. Take this time because everybody says they're so busy and they're overwhelmed. Don't leave your kids sitting in the other room alone. Especially on the phone, it creates more stress for them. And they're going through so many emotions, these children, and I'm very worried. And I'm worried about those kids that are not getting the help that they need. Don't think that your child isn't thinking constantly, some of them are up at night, like, and that's why they go on the phone, so they don't have to think about what's going on. Talk, communicate, build healthy relationships in the house. Find a routine, whether you're starting a new routine or follow the routine you had as best as you can. Do things where you're taking care of yourself, taking care of your child, your family. I mean, domestics have gone up. You know, there's violence in the home now. You know, go, you know, separate for a little bit if you have to, or you know, depending on what your situation is, but you have to take care of yourself. All the therapists, all of us are set up virtually. Everybody,
exactly.
We're virtual. We're available. I'm available 7 days a week. I mean, find the support system that you need. These are all important factors right now, because what's going to happen afterwards we're going to have more problems to deal with. And when people have to go back out and they don't want to go back out, and you know we're going to have people that are going to be scared to go back to school,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a whole, mm-hmm. I'm thinking what's going to happen after. And it really, I just feel it's important, set things up in your house. You know, you can still go order off Amazon. They're still delivering puzzles. Do puzzles with
yeah.
your kids. Paint with your kids. I'm seeing last week I mentioned it, all those cool chalk drawings and making obstacle courses and just find ways to connect. And you can social or physical distance. You can distance from people. You could be on one side of the street or one side of your yard and try to connect with people that way. You know, I know when I'm out walking and I talk to my neighbors, we're on opposite ends of the street, but we have conversations, you know. That's how you connect with people. Or maybe, you know, maybe you need to reconnect with people too, right, guys? Take the time to reconnect with relationships.
Yes, time to reconnect. People you hadn't talked to in years. College roommates or friends or whatever, because it'll be, you know, because everyone is trying to shelter in place in a lot of places. Another thing you can do is to, one thing that was done, I've seen where teachers who really want to stay connected with their class, their children in their class, would tell them to be in the driveway. I'm driving through, just want to holler at you.
yes,
and say hello,
yes,
how
yeah,
you doing? And
I think
it's just so cute. It happened in our neighborhood a couple of weeks ago. I saw this caravan of cars, and next door neighbor, the little girl had a birthday, and they had her out on the porch, and a whole caravan, might have been about 50 or 60 cars, just drove through with balloons and happy birthday signs, you know, for her. And that was so sweet. It was really cool. It was very, very nice. Any gifts they had, the last car, which was a van, had the gifts, her gifts from the children in that car. And they stopped and just put them, you know, on the porch, where she could get them later. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was just so sweet for her. But you can do little things like that. People in your church, in your Sunday school, you know, you can do the very same thing. You know, you all be out in the neighborhood on your front stoop or whatever. We're going to come by and just say hi and just let you know we're thinking about you. Those little things make a tremendous difference. Do a virtual pizza party. You know, we're going to order pizzas at the same time because now they do the no-contact delivery. And then you all, you know, FaceTime each other. You know, having a pizza party and just acting like kids should act. You know, be you know, just have that time to be a kid. You know, do those kind of things. But, you know, just be creative with what you do. I think somebody mentioned something about routines, even with the mail. We wipe down our mail every day. Before it comes into this house, we're going to wipe down that mail to make sure that we can, you know, touch the mail. Get gloves, get the mail out of the mailbox or whatever. If there's a delivery, we're going to wipe down that delivery before we bring it to the house. So those little things you just have to do. But you got to now think outside the box. And for those children, young people who are not hearing from their teachers, on this show, we always say, do not wait for the white charger out on a white horse to come to save you or to bring to your attention. As a parent, you need to be on that phone, calling the school board, calling the superintendent, and letting that teacher know that, you know, I have not heard from you about my child's education and about this thing. I got some questions because I'm still trying to teach my child here at home, and I need some help. In Los Angeles today, the superintendent there, they're organizing a parent power type of situation where parents can call in and get specific information and skills on how to work with their kid, you know, at home. And usually math is one of the worst areas.
Math and science.
They're trying to work with them more. But those things, you got to think outside the box now. Because if we get another round of this, we're going to be back for another round of round two.
And
those
that's
type
one
of
the
things.
Thing
but just look for things to have fun and to let kids be kids. They don't need to have the heavy whatever unless they ask questions. And NBC and some of these shows now are doing things specifically answering questions from children and young people. So hook them up with that kind of stuff. But try to, you know, make sure they stay in their routine and go to bed a decent hour and then get up and then go to school. I like what you said about the mother having her child put on her uniform.
Son,
I think that's cool.
You know what? It's good. And it's good for all of us because, you know, sleeping, like sleeping all day and being up all night or, you know, some kids, they get up, they sign in, and then they go back to sleep. I mean, this is another problem we have. No, you need to get up. I don't care if you were up till 6 a.m. You still need to be up.
You need to make sure you get your assignments in.
I mean, I have an issue even before this with video. I'm not a video game. I always said I probably wouldn't have been a great mom because my kid wouldn't have social media. They're on the Snapchat. Snapchat is not good, guys. If your child is on Snapchat, please follow them. I've seen some very disturbing things on Snapchat and TikTok.
Exactly.
Please monitor. And the video games, they're talking. They think these are their friends. And I say, how is that your friend? Do you know them? No, they live in California. So to me, there's plenty of kids around here. There's plenty of things, you know, talk to your child or at least make sure, like, you're monitoring them being up all night on these social media platforms. Because I'll tell you this, too, there's some misinformation on those platforms, and there's kids and people making jokes about this. My kids like to share stuff with me. So I see what's going on, and it's not healthy. I can tell you that. And you there's apps you can put on the phones to monitor. And you know what I tell parents? If they won't get off the phone, take the chargers, turn the data off, and turn your Wi-Fi off.
Mm-hmm.
That'll
work every
time. I mean, sorry.
And that's what we have to do. We have to take charge as parents. We have to take charge dealing with situations. Carla had an awesome point about it. And we was talking about it earlier about students not being able to, they're so used to face-to-face with their teachers. Now they got to do something you say that's totally revolutionizing to them. And what we have to do, we got to be created in the school system and what Scarlett said about the teachers that's riding by the neighborhood. I always said we have to get out in the neighborhood where our children live and know where our children live and make sure they see us in some form or fashion. I'm not saying you go and walk through there, but you got to make sure you're seen, especially with this time when they're not that social socialization they was getting when they was coming to school, they no longer can have it. And that's why it's a big challenge. So, like one of the watchers, which is Phoenix Brown, she said, be creative. Same thing, Scarlett, you said, as well as Lisa said. You got to be creative. You had to come up with something different. You had to pick up, you know, play games, play family games. I found myself doing something I had never played. I was with a friend of their people, and I was sitting up there in there playing what they call Operation. You know, you have to do that. It was done virtual by video. And I'm just saying, these things I haven't played in years. This is what we have to do. We have to be creative. We have to stay on top of what's going on. Don't allow other people to run your home, because I can tell you, social media can run your home if you allow it. Because if you get started teaching your children TikTok and all this kind of stuff going on, you have some problems. And that's what we're looking at. It's some good. A lot of good can come out of that, come out of what's going on now. You know, you've got to always focus on what may be bad. You know, just having family time would be important. Not being able to go out don't mean you can't be there with your family. Enjoy your family. Sit down and have dinner. about something we are so busy that we're not doing. Those are just a few things, and we have talked about several. We're pushing out, we got about 5 more minutes, and we're going to be able to wrap it up. It went pretty fast tonight. We had technical problems, all of this going on. I wanted to talk about everything, but we had an awesome time talking about it. We ain't through with it. We're going to come back again. So don't think this is over.
Absolutely.
We're going to continue to talk, and we're going to come. Yes.
Can I add one thing before you?
Yeah.
Pinterest.
Yes.
Go on Pinterest. It is an excellent,
yeah.
excellent ideas. They very creative. You could. There's a lot you can do with toilet paper rolls, right, guys? Toilet paper, paper towel rolls.
Exactly.
I was sending the kids some projects to do, but I saw like they made castles with them. Like I saw very cool projects. Find things to do. You guys can all do together on there. So. That's a great tool, and I like Pinterest. So,
and for the parents out there that are home, having to teach their children now, don't think that you have to. You know, you're not an expert. You're not teacher trained, so don't think that anyone's looking for you to be that. But they
mm-hmm.
are looking for you to ensure that your children are completing assignments, and that when you don't understand something, that you please make a contact with someone that does. You can go a parent that might be very good. You all can team up and get into clusters, and communicate
support
that
group.
Way through social media. If you got a parent who is really good with language arts, then team up. If you got a parent who is very good with social studies, and you got one that might be an accountant who is really good with math, or someone who really loves math and science, that type of thing. And for the educators, if out there and you know you got some educated friends who have not communicated with their children who are in their classes, you know, they need to do so. You know, you got to put yourself in these kids' place. This is not these children's we didn't make this. We didn't start this. But it's here now. So we have to deal with that as we can as a school principal.
Exactly.
I would say I had the capabilities. Some of you may not have that in your districts, but I had the capabilities of communicating with every child in my school through phone messaging. Send out just, if you have that and you're able to do that, just send out a general message and just say, you know, missing you all, thinking about you, just something positive so they know that their
mm-hmm.
principal cares about their learning
yeah.
and what's happening
exactly.
with them too, as well as the teachers. And then also reach out to your teachers and your staff to see how they are doing, because this is depressing and stressful for them too. I had to
exactly.
talk about like I had to cut off the TV. I was getting depressed from just listening to all this news, and so I now don't look at that.
Me neither.
That conference every day. It's been so long. I think I saw two, and that was enough for me. I get the clips that I need to see, or I'll see it on social media comments that are being made, and then I'll respond that way. But that stuff was really bringing me down. Find something happy. Find something to laugh about. Find something to make
exactly.
you smile at least a couple of times a day. I always look for things
yep.
that's going to make me laugh. And one that I saw today, someone had taken an umbrella. Now, this is really funny. Had taken an umbrella because they're trying to reopen their business. They're a hairstylist. But had taken an umbrella and had cut the space out for her eyes. And then also took the other part of the umbrella and cut the holes out for her hands and had on gloves, you know. And when I saw that, I just fell out. I said, now, who would have thought of anything like that? It's like a shield made out of the umbrella. The only thing she needed to do was make sure she had a mask on behind the umbrella, and her client have a mask on, too. But I thought that was just, it was just funny to me.
Exactly. That's awesome.
You
got
to think outside the
yeah.
box, people, you know, because no one's come to save
yeah.
us, as we know.
Nope.
And we see it. So we got to protect ourselves and be responsible. And we got to think outside of the box. Be creative.
Exactly.
And work,
that's what it's all
work together.
That's what it's all about. It's all about thinking outside the box, being creative, taking that innovative thoughts you have, everything you have to make it better at this time. A lot of thoughts have been shared on Facebook in regard to things to be done. And, you can check it out. Just go to the Facebook page. You can see it. But we're at the end of the hour right now. We're a little bit beyond. We want to close it out. But we want to come back, if it's okay with the team, come back in 2 weeks and talk a little
Absolutely.
Bit more about mental health. And that's be on a Monday, 2 weeks from today. We'll be doing the same, talking with you. We'll come back and we'll continue to talk about it. We want to continue to talk about what we experience, what we know to kind of help individuals who join us on Facebook, as well as Instagram and Blog Talk Radio. Let me give some shout outs right quick, then I'll allow both of you to give your closing remark. We have on Instagram, we have acarter2972. That's a handle for them. And we have Jamie Haley. I know him, even though he has a handle, but I just know it was him. We have Miss_Phyllis. We have official_Julia_1. On Facebook, we have Rachel Robinson, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
Right.
Give her a shout out. We
yeah.
have Monique Sunshine Boyd, Seaborn. She's always checking in with us, and
mm-hmm.
she just the coronavirus affected her marriage, but she still got married, and they're going to plan something a little later, and that was in February, and they're going to do something. They had a drive-by that people shouted at them as they drove by.
Wonderful.
It was Marquita Turner, which is a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority.
Mm-hmm.
She's also the author, Phoenix Q. Brown, and she was typing a lot in tonight. We have Dana Bowser. Thank you so much, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
Oh,
and then
great.
I have Marvin Smith, Lala. I know him personally. Thank you, Marvin. And we have Tori Johnson joining us as well, was watching. And we have several other comments by Marquita. I couldn't read them all. We have Edna Richardson, a co-worker, a cohort of mine in the State Department. We did the career tech throughout the state of Alabama. I was at my school. She was at another school. And I've given her a shout out. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. She
All
had a
right.
birthday recently. So
oh.
we give her a shout out. She reached that big, three scores. She reached that three scores. So I won't call it out. If everybody know what three scores is, she hit the big three scores. So we said, awesome to you. Again, to each and every one of you all join us, we said thank you. And I allow Lisa as well as Scarlett to close it out, and we'll come back in 2 weeks, and we're going to have some more exciting talking for you concerning this coronavirus, COVID-19. Either one of you can start it off first.
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me on, and I just want to say to everybody, try to do what you can to take care of yourself. Try to be present. Always say be present, be in the moment.
Yeah.
Try to look within. Find gratitude. I think I said this last week. Try to find three things that you're grateful for. Three things, you know, when you get up. And please just make sure to take care of yourselves, your kids, your family. If you're not sure what to do, there's always someone you can call and ask. There's always someone. You're not alone. I think a lot of people feel like they're alone, and you're not alone. Keep that in mind. You're not alone.
Awesome.
And we
awesome.
Will get through this. We will get through this. And I always say, hashtag, we got this. So.
Hashtag, go ahead on.
Hashtag,
all right,
we got this.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you so much. So much.
Thank you.
All right, Scarlett. All right, Scarlett.
Well, we've always been, we are our culture. We're a people that have had to survive and go through so much. Our history dictates the strength that we have as a group of people. Find that strength. Tap into it because you have it. And just know that, yes, we will get through this, and we'll be stronger for it because it's going to change this nation, I'm hoping, in a very positive way, where we will now see people and not look past people, people that are keeping this economy and this country going through all of this, are those essential workers, those people who can't stay home, the ones that clean the streets, pick up our garbage and trash off the streets. Because if they didn't go to work, can you imagine how bad this really would be?
No, yeah.
It'd be awful.
Damn.
You know, so, yeah, and the doctors and the nurses, the EMT workers, all, you know, the people that fix the food, all these things, the people that in the restaurants that had the drive-in services, because when you didn't want to cook every day, you know, at least you could still go out and get takeout, you know, by driving through. So, you know, all these folks, transit workers, people that drive the bus, the subways, the things that get us from A to Z each and every day. If the doctors and nurses couldn't get to work, what in the world will we do? You know, those first responders, the people that take the 911 calls, this is real serious stuff. And so we got to see all of everyone, not just those in the top 1% in this country, but everyone. It's not the top 1% that's saving us now and keep us going. It's these people who get up and do their jobs every day. They do it for sacrifice and never complain. If they do, they get over it and get up the next day and start back again. If you're in the New York region and area, they do have a lot of numbers where you can call to get to reach out to someone to talk to, because the psychologists, counselors, licensed professional counselors have all come together there to assist people who are going through stress and emotional difficulty at this time. Don't worry about your stimulus check. It's coming. From what they keep, from what we see on the news, they say it's coming. And if you apply for unemployment, go ahead and keep applying for the unemployment, because you get $600 on top of that unemployment check. Get what you work for every single day. No one's giving you anything, or any of us anything. We work for this money. So if you got a small business, don't give up. Apply for the loans and just stay with it. Don't give up. And if you don't know how to fill out all those forms, because I understand you're trying to make it hard, you know, ask someone. Reach out. There's someone in your church, someone that you know can help you navigate this stuff. So thank you all for joining us tonight. We're glad to have you, Ms. Messner. I hope I'm saying your last name right. But thank you. And, Doc, turn it back over
thank
to you.
You.
But God bless each of you, and thanks for joining
us
tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you both, Lisa and Scarlett, for joining us. It's been awesome. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and we're going to be hitting it just as hard. I want to give a shout-out to Sierra Washington. She's joining us as well. She tuned in the last minute or so, and we thank her so much for taking time. You know, my hashtag is keep on grinding. We have to keep on grinding. We have to listen to those people. The individual says stay home, stay home, stay alive. I'm going to add that to it. Stay home, stay alive.
All
and on
right.
top of that, you know, we want to communicate for understanding. We got to be able to communicate with the number four, where we're able to listen. That's what virtual learning is all about, using technology. You got to be able to hear what the other person. So we got a lot of things we're being exposed to right now. But last but not least, I want us to understand we're in a family. And when we all in this together, no matter how we feel about the individual, no matter who they are, but we want to give a shout out to our first responders, our doctors, our nurses, our health staff, all of those individuals, our teachers, our mental health counselors, our social workers. We got to give a shout out to the grocers and the truck drivers, everybody that's making this work the best it can work. And we want to give them a shout out, police officers, law enforcement, all of them. We want to shout and say, keep doing a good job. And to our military, we got to give a shout, because we have listeners from the military and other parts of the country be checking us out. And I want to make sure in other parts of the world that we give a shout out to them. That's what we have to do. But last but not least, it's all about our family. And I always tell you when I close the show out, I love you, and anything you can do about it, have an awesome night. We'll check you out on Wednesday with Sport, Talking Sports Plus. It's all about a family affair.
everybody get on up, cause you know we got to get it wrong. Mary J is in the spot tonight, and I'ma make you feel alright. Come on, baby, just party with me. Let loose and set your body free. Leave your situations at the door, so when you step inside, jump on the floor.